Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to Irregular Bitches, the podcast for us midlife warrior women who remember the 90s and noughties, and some who actually don't. I'm Sarah Kaywood. Hopefully you lot Hopefully you lot remember me from the 90s and noughties, and my co-host is lovely Lou Mitchell. Lulu, do you remember the 90s and noughties?
I do remember most of the 90s. I was at university in the late 80s though, because I'm a couple of years older than you.
Yeah.
So my really crazy day started late 80s, as soon as I hit uni, and we're kind of... They'd kind of slowed down by mid-90s, I would say. So I was settling down and getting a boyfriend who was then going to be husband.
So. You see, I was just ramping it up then. So I met my ex, who was like the guitarist in the Blue Tones. Hopefully our listeners will remember them because they're of an age. And so Adam and I got together in 1996 and we were together till the early noughties. And then when we split up, I just went on a rampage.
The greatest of fun.
So I had the best time then as well. And then probably for the last, I reckon the last 3 years of my 6 year single stint, I was fucking miserable. Lonely. Aww. Lonely, lonely, lonely. Anybody who's, you know what it's like. Or do you?
I've never had the opportunity to feel lonely, which I know is a ridiculous thing to say because lonely isn't necessarily a good thing. But no, I've never been on my own. I don't mean relationship to relationship. I mean, there's always been loads of people. I was single when everyone else was single. I was sort of got married in the middle of all of my friends. Uh-huh. So I didn't have that going on. So yeah, loneliness isn't something, thank goodness, I've ever experienced. And touch wood, won't.
Because as everybody knows, you can be in a room full of people and be the loneliest you've ever felt.
Yeah, but when I feel like that, I stay at home.
Yeah, but when I was classically lonely, like single and lonely, I was really, really lonely. It was bloody horrible. And also friends, so we'd go out on a Saturday night and, get absolutely rampaged. And then I'd be like, please don't let me be on my own tomorrow, with the booze blues on a Sunday. And invariably, I'd get ghosted by all my mates. I'd text them and go, are we going to go for Sunday lunch then? And they'd be lying in bed reading the papers and having...
Sunday. We were big Sunday lunches. Yeah. So I went through a phase probably early 90s where the weekend started on a Thursday and ended on, whenever I got rolled in on Sunday. So we would just be drinking from that point onwards, which, whilst great fun, obviously had a finite period of time before I crashed.
Yeah. Of course.
I crawled out of London in 97. Literally crawled. I was done.
Really? God, I had another 20 years of the fucker.
See, I was in the gaming industry and it was 24/7.
That makes me feel a bit sick. I'll tell you what, can I just say before we introduce our wonderful guest this week, I am finding the no drinking thing remarkably easy. I was going to go so far as to say I'm quite enjoying it.
Well, so what is it? What is it, do you think?
Well, there's no anxiety. There's no hangxiety. There's no anxiety about, oh my God, I got wrecked, I'm drinking too much.
So you're talking about the next day. The next day is great.
Yeah, but also no recurrence, cancer recurrence. I'm doing the best thing I can for my health. Like, that if it comes back, it's not on me. I'm trying to do all the right things.
Fabulous.
So I'm really chuffed about that. But also there's so many amazing alcohol-free alternatives. It's like, I've got a fridge full of Trip, which is a CBD infused drink.
Me too.
That's delicious. Yep. I will, I think, probably start having a posh drinking glass habit.
I've already seen
two on who on Notting High Street. They're 42 quid for these beautiful coloured cut glass things, because that makes your AF drink to just feel like an event. So there's that, and it's just amazing. So last night I had Valentine's dinner with Andy, and I just had a couple of cans of Trip, and he had a few glasses of red wine, and it was lush.
And you didn't feel like, oh, well, I'll just have a small sip.
It was. I'm not even tempted. That's the weird thing.
That's good.
But I think it's so much easier to just get rid of it completely than have it. Like, oh, do you know what I mean?
It's so hard to moderate. Make it black and white.
I
never have just one drink, ever. Never had in my whole life. And I have just worked out what an AF drink is.
Alcohol free. Sorry. Oh, there's on all the hashtags, like hashtag sober AF, which is sober as fuck. I mean, yeah, I'm that twat. Anyway. But our guest today is not a twat. She is arguably a 90s icon, having graced the covers of every seminal magazine of the time and hosted some unforgettable telly too. The Big Breakfast, Fully Booked, and Top of the Pops, to name but a few. Please welcome another OG irregular bitch. It's Gail Porter! Gail! Oh, Jesus. I scared myself then. Gail!
Gail! We all jumped out of our skin.
I'm so sorry. How are you, my darling?
I felt like I was back in the 90s. You were shouting at me, Gil, where are we going? What day is it? I don't know. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right, thank
you. Sorry I didn't get dressed up.
Oh, it's a podcast. That's the beauty of them. How are you?
I'm good. A little bit tired. But no, I'm all very good. Missing my daughter, you know, because she's now 20 and she's at Manchester Uni. And it's just weird. Do you know what the thing is as well? I don't know about anybody else, but the older they get, it's like, if I get a phone call once a week, I'm delighted.
Oh, really?
And I...
Well, empty nesters unite.
Yeah, Lola's 20 next month. No, April. And, yeah, if I didn't FaceTime her, I probably wouldn't recognise her. And she comes back reasonably often.
I don't think my daughter would even accept a FaceTime from me.
Really?
That's weird, isn't it? My son's like that.
Oh, God, I've got all of this to look forward to. Oh.
She's got her boyfriend, she's in a band, she's studying. So, yeah, I'll see her next week when I go up to... I've got some work up in Manchester for the Samaritans, so I'm going to take her for lunch. So that'll be nice.
Food, that's it. We were joking just before you came on about not remembering the 90s and noughties, so I need to ask you, do you remember the 90s and noughties, Gail?
Yeah, I do have selective memories, but the worrying thing is, because I work a lot in Soho in London, and people come up to me and went, oh my gosh, I met you at such and such, and I was like, I always say, I don't even know what happened last week, so don't ask me about the 90s, I don't know, I can't remember, but I will remember the fun bits, like doing Top of the Pops or the Big Breakfast, and, you know, the fun times that we had, but there's other bits that, yeah.
Probably for the best, Gail.
I think that's all of us. Did you know? So Gail and I had the same agent.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, do you remember?
Yeah, I went through so many agents. Well, I mean, I didn't kill them.
Yeah, and it was at the height of what, you know, what was extremely stressful for you because your ass wasn't touching because you were, I think, probably peak fame at that point. And I was on the outside looking in, probably quite enviously. But now, obviously, I know what you were going through. I'm fucking dodged a bullet, to be honest.
It was all sort of done, but it's very kind of, oh, just turn up at this and it'll be fine and you won't get paid and we're not going to really do much about anything. And then it suddenly was, you know, plastered all over the Houses of Parliament. And yeah, I was just, yeah.
So Gail, you turned up for a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a magazine called FHM, which was quite big today. And they said, you know what, it's good for publicity and we might put you on the front cover. And I did... My mum was there. My mum came along with me because I was a little bit apprehensive. And then they did take a picture of my backside. I mean, they were quite risky pictures. But we kind of just did that in the
90s.
Everyone
did. I don't think...
It was the nuts era, was it? All part
just
of the
nuts
era.
Just before that, it was actually cooler than... Yeah. Way cooler than nuts.
It was way cooler. And then... But then what they did was not pay me. They told them... They were like, oh, no one gets paid. And it's not until... Now you think, well, hang on a minute,
wow.
Such and such got paid thousands and did it. And so what they did was they took my image of my bottom and they called all the press. They used a company called, I've got to say this slowly, Cunning Stunts.
Right. I remember them.
Yeah. And then what they did was they phoned all the press and everything. And at midnight, I don't know what date it was. I know it was 1999. They projected it for 1 minute.
I remember.
On the House of Parliament because it was illegal. So they all just met, flashed it. They all got their pictures. They all did a runner. Nobody thought to tell me. And then I saw it on BBC News the next day.
I'm so sorry that happened to you. The fact that you knew nothing of it. I saw it. I saw the images. You looked wonderful, obviously. But it breaks my heart that you didn't know of it.
They didn't tell me. They didn't speak to me about it. They didn't. There was nothing. And apparently it was one of the biggest ever selling FHMs because it was just controversial. Mm. It wasn't because I was on it. It was just controversial. And you made a fortune out of it and just completely
Can you imagine...
I feel really upset.
That I know. I feel really... can you imagine that being allowed to happen now? No fucking way. And I know, you know, I mean, I do bang on about, you know, how much fun the 90s and noughties were. But, and I wanted to ask you, Gail, actually, because I think I have a selective memory, but actually, was it a bit toxic?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think every sort of generation are going to go through toxicity. But in the 90s, I felt a little bit like we were all caught up in the drama. It was all very ab fab and we're running around going, this is so much fun. And so people were not paying you properly. And people, you know, the people that are watching on TV are assuming that you've got loads of money and everything's great. But you are working nonstop, every job you could possibly do for everybody, the endless magazines that don't pay you, and but then again, I worked with the most amazing people and had the most fun on Top of the Pops, Big Breakfast. But there was a lot of misogyny, a lot of that going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my next question. Did you come across a lot of sexism and misogyny? The thing is, I don't know about you, but Lou will be able to tell us because she was sort of working when we were doing all of that stuff. But I completely accepted it. I didn't, like, no questions asked. Like, somebody fills me up or whatever. It was just, and I hate to say this because I don't want to make light of it, but actually... a lot of it was of its time, and I don't want my daughter, and I'm sure you don't want Honey or Lola to be putting up with that stuff now, but it just was of its time.
They wouldn't.
It?
Would Honey put up with any shit, Gail? Because no. Lola wouldn't. Absolutely not. She wouldn't tolerate anybody touching, saying anything inappropriate. I sucked it up. I didn't like it, and I knew it was wrong, but I sucked it up. And is that what you're saying, Sarah? And Gail, did you do the same?
I think so. You just accepted it. You accepted maybe definitely not getting paid as much as your male counterparts. You'd accept the fact that people would touch you when they'd meet you or, you know, or say inappropriate things. But I always blamed myself because I thought, well, I did that photo shoot for one thing. So, you know, I've put myself out there so they can just, I felt like I was public property. So
yeah,
I was quite used to turning up jobs and thinking, well, they must think I'm thick because I'm blonde and, well, not now obviously, but I was blonde and doing all these magazines, and so you just got treated, you weren't, not all the jobs, don't get me wrong, Top of the Pops treated me like an absolute princess.
That was a good job,
Chris
wasn't it?
Was just the nicest man ever,
wasn't he? Chris Cowie
that was the best
yeah
job.
we do it together, Gail. Were we on at the same time? I know I don't think we ever co-presented it.
No, I think we did one when there was maybe three or four of us, I think. Was there not? I don't know, I can't really remember. But because there was one time that they used to mix everybody up. So there was one time there was me, Jane Middlemiss, Jamie Theakston. I think Jimmy Savile appeared at one point.
Yeah, that was the last one. That was the last one, Gail. So I think you did the last one with me because Edith Bowman did that one. And I think Theako was as well. And I did three links on the last ever Top of the Pops. One was with Jimmy Savile. Sorry, let me put my teeth in. One was with Jimmy Savile. One was with Dave Lee Travis, another fucking sex pest. And one was with Janice Long. Thank God. So, you know, at least I had one decent person.
Thank God you had Janice Long.
I had Janice Long. Fucking.
Yeah, because Jimmy Savile never made me comfortable at all. And I was just like, please don't touch me. It always went straight.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I know.
I cannot imagine. As a little person, I always said to my mum, I don't ever want to sit on the arm of that man's chair. And she quoted it back to me when it all came out, even as a, you know, however little I was, little.
Yeah.
So to actually be in his presence.
Yeah.
Was there, I mean, did you obviously got a vibe.
Yeah, he just always made me feel uncomfortable. I didn't work with him very often, but I did a couple of charity things. And then that, I think it was just one Top of the Pops. And I just thought, oh, no.
Yeah, I only met him. Yeah, I met him at that Top of the Pops. That's the only time I ever met him. I was quite lucky, but he got introduced to me and he took my hand. And it was like, do you remember Banzai's Handshaky Man? who wouldn't let go of your hand. Do you remember that? It was on Banzai. It was like, yeah. It was a precursor to the girly show, actually. And it was like that. He took my hand and he shook it and he slobbered all over it, over the back of it as he kissed it. And then he wouldn't let go of it. And I remember just wanting to get my fucking hand back from him. I was like, just give me my hand back. And in the end, I sort of politely extricated myself. But yeah, I did. And I'm gutted because that was the last of a seminal music show that had lasted decades, and it was fucking ruined by Savile being on it. I'm gutted.
Obviously, you know, I didn't have my daughter at that point, but she sometimes looks up things on YouTube. She's not really that bothered what I do at all. And I said, did you see your mum doing that? She went, no. I said, oh, right, okay. I'm just so needy. Honey, do you love your mum? Whatever.
I love her. She sounds really cool.
Didn't give a shit.
That's what I'm like with mine now. I got into bed with Hunter only this morning, and I was like, I love you, baby. And he was, and I knew I had morning breath. And he was like, turned away from me, and I went, tell me you love me. So needy.
Yeah. I've now got to the stage that I go, Alexa, do you love me? I can't answer that. I'm
like, no, we can't have that.
Gail,
Alexa, piss up.
I love you. I love you. Lou loves you. Thanks. We love you. You're an irregular bitch, and we bloody love you. Do you miss it?
Do I miss the 90s?
Did you miss telly? Do you miss all of that?
I couldn't pick a single thing on the television now that I'd even want to be on, to be honest, unless it was The Chase. I love The Chase.
I love The Chase.
Oh, I'd love to see you on The Chase. That's one of my favourites. Not even Happy Valley. Did you watch Happy Valley?
Oh, that was great. But you see, I can't act, so I've got no talent. So, but like a presenting job, there's nothing I would want to do. But do you know what? Sean from The Chase, I just messaged him this morning because he's apparently in my local pub, which I don't usually go to very often, tonight doing a quiz.
Are you going down there? You've got to go down there.
I was thinking, oh, I'm so tired. But I thought, do you know what? It's only a 5-minute walk. I might just pop in and say hi. And I love The Chase.
Gail, you've got to go on a celebrity chase. You'd be epic.
No, because I'd be too worried that I'd have brain freeze, you know, and they'd probably ask me something that I'd really know, and then I'd look like a right twerp.
But then you can represent us by saying, oh, I've got brain fog, I need to have at least an extra 10 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely.
And supplements.
You'd be surprised, actually, because I went on The Weakest Link just before Christmas, and it's as long as you listen to the questions, you'd be all right. You're used to that high pressure environment.
I saw you.
Did you say, oh, no, it was in between Christmas and New Year.
I saw
year.
You on The Weakest Link.
Yeah, I got dead lucky when that was.
Yeah, it was very good.
When that was broadcast. I haven't had my winnings yet. In fact,
you did very well.
Thank you, sweetheart. I've just remembered I haven't signed a contract because they have to pay me the winnings, and then I have to pay them to Breast Cancer Now. So I need to fucking get that sorted out.
Anne Robinson, I did it with.
You had the famous words said to you.
Yeah.
She's mean.
She was really nice to me, but I was the only one. I was the only woman on mine because it was a darts special, and I used to present this dreadful show called Showbiz Darts on Challenge, and it was me and Tuffers in the finals. So she was all right because it was just me and a load of quite thick dart players. Sorry, dart players, but they were a bit like too much time spent in the pub, you know. Tuffers wasn't. It was me and him, and so she was all right, but I was. Petrified of her, I have to say.
Yeah, I was pretty scared. Yeah. I just wanted to get out once we finished. I think I came second or third. Yay! I can't remember.
Irregular bitches.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So are you deep into the midlife stuff like we are, Gail? Well, all the perimenopausal...
Well... I've got an autoimmune deficiency. This is one of the reasons my hair fell out. So I've not had a period for about 15 years. So I don't even know what's happening to my body. So, I mean, I've always had really bad sleep. But I don't really know. I sort of Googled menopause and I was like, I don't feel any different than I've felt for the past 15 years, to be honest.
I mean, there's every possibility you might have already done it, like in amongst all the other stuff. If you have autoimmune, I suppose that your perimenopause, menopause symptoms, Lou, I suppose, may have got lost. Could they have done, do you think, got lost in that melee as well?
Well, not everybody has some symptoms that they struggle with. You know, everybody's different at the end of the day. But you say, have you always been an insomniac, Gail?
Yeah, I started sleepwalking when I was about 3 or 4, my mum said. And she said I'd wander out, she'd find me in the street. They had to double lock the doors. And then now, but sometimes if I'm really, really, really tired, and I've been up for however long, I can miss a day. I could just sleep all day long. Mm. But most nights I can guarantee I'll be up by about 2, 3, watch the crime channel.
Do you stay up?
Are you accepting of it now?
Yeah, I have to, because I've tried everything. I've tried sleeping tablets that make me feel like shit the next day. Sometimes I even took night nurse just to help me sleep. But then again, I felt shit, and you're not supposed to be taking night nurse. And I've got, people send me supplements. I've got loads of teas that I try and take, but it just doesn't work.
So you're clearly just wired that way. Yeah, I mean, we actually had a sleep specialist on last week called Dan Everson. And I do wonder, so I'll tell you to go and follow him on Instagram. But actually, if you've made your peace with it, then...
I'm just used to it now. Yeah. I'm so used to it.
Yeah, it's annoying. I can't think of anything worse. But do you... Can you function?
Yeah, I'm fine. I get up and I just have to. I get up, have a cold shower and just get on with it and think, you know, even if I'm absolutely shattered, you just have to do it. But then sometimes I come home and I think, oh, I'll sit down if it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Then I'll nap and I think, why did that happen? It's nothing major.
Yeah.
But more to the point, how are you, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm all right. So all dealt with. So I've just got to go on the hormone. But I presume you're asking about the older... pesky little fucking lump.
Yeah.
It was very early stage and I feel very lucky, but I've got to go on the hormone blocking drugs and I'm not on those yet, but they're going to send me spiraling back into menopause. So I'm going to because they basically remove any estrogen in your body completely. So it'd be hot flushes and dry vaginas akimbo, but you know, it is what it is. So, and I feel very lucky.
I think
actually.
Mine's been trying for a big thing. I can't remember even going out with anybody's feet. Someone was asking that. So, you know, because it was Valentine's Day yesterday. Well, I don't know when you're going to put this out. Well, obviously, Valentine's Day is on the 14th of February. So a whole bunch of girls phoned me up and said, should we just go out and have a single ladies' night? So I thought, I don't know if I feel like it. And then we went and there was a few guys in the pub and we put on, you know, single ladies. You know, we just did all the usual shit single women do. And having a dance. And every male in the pub left. one had come up and said, oh ladies, it can't be that bad, when's the last time you had sex? And I was just like, what year is it?
Listen,
I can't remember.
I mean, you know, it does get poor Andy, he edits this. I love him, he is wonderful, but poor bugger, because you know, it suddenly it becomes something that has to stuff that has to happen around it, like the insertion of lube. And anyway, we digress. Gail, I wanted to ask you, because obviously you've been very transparent about your mental health, about your bipolar, and you know, and the fact that, well, the alopecia was partly stress induced and partly obviously autoimmune, and actually, you know what, woman, it's quite, I don't want to say trendy, but it's certainly much more talked about now, and you were one of the first people to bring it out of the dark, and I think that we should thank you for that, because I think when you started being very honest about it, people weren't. And how are you doing? How are you doing now?
I'm good. I mean, I have good days, bad days, but I mean, I always can get up and put a smile on, whether you don't want to or not, you just do it. But the fact that I've been talking about it a lot, it's just incredible the amount of people that come up and talk to me about, even on the tube in London, and people are not that friendly, but people will sit next to me and chat to me about my hair, or they'll chat to me about being a bit sad. And then I'm an ambassador with the Samaritans, so I'm going to be in Manchester next week, just at a stall that we're going to set up in the train station, just telling people, do you know what, it's all right to come and say hi. I'm not going to be counselling anybody because I can't do that, but I'll just say, right, this is what you should do, this is who you should phone, these people are there for you. And then we did a documentary about my mental health. And then won a BAFTA. And my daughter was like, that's amazing. Did you just win a BAFTA for being mad? And I was like, no.
From the mouths of babes.
I love your daughter.
Yeah. I don't know if you're allowed to say that. That's woke. I'm not entirely sure what's right. And I said, but pretty much, yeah.
Oh, bless yeah. her. So I confess, I didn't watch that documentary, and now I think I really, really want to get. Can it still be consumed somewhere?
I think it's on BBC iPlayer somewhere. I'm not sure. It was out for a while. But the strangest thing was I saw my dad in it. I spoke to my dad quite a lot before he passed away, but he was always kind of, you're not good enough at this. This is not good enough. This is not good enough. No matter what you did. But I just accepted it. He was very Scottish. He was very stoic. And then when he eventually agreed to meet me, I went up to Edinburgh to do a bit of filming. And he sat next to me and I said, you know, we were just talking about me being little and stuff like that, you know, younger, not little, because I'm 5'1", you know what it's like. Yeah, you know, we're not the tallest. But I just said to my dad, I said, you know what, Dad, I'm so sorry if I let you down. And he went, oh, the only person you ever let down is yourself. And I was like, even still, when I'm in my 50s, you're just like, come on, give me a break, man.
Gail, that's fuck. I want to ram him. I want to punch him. That's just like, that is that poem, they fuck you up, your mum and dad. Who's that poem by? It's not Alan Bennett. It's, who is it?
Oh, I can't remember.
Lou's going to look. Have a Google.
Yeah,
and it's
Google it.
Fucking
yeah,
true.
It. Irregular. Bitches.
Yeah, I did an interview with, who was it? Kay Adams, it was, when I was in Scotland for Radio Scotland or whatever. And she said, I watched your documentary and I saw that about your dad and it was so upsetting. I just, honestly, if I met him and I went, well, you can't, he's just died. And she went, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was like, no, it's fine. You didn't know he died. So there you go. But I'll pass on because I've got him in a box in the house. So not his full body. I've got him like he's...
This has taken a very
dark turn. Oh, Gail, honestly, you need a fucking radio show, woman. I would listen. This is what we need. I just think people are a bit too scared of being... Right, okay. I think I'm going to risk being cancelled now. But sometimes I think everything's a bit too woke.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, what I can't say. And then if I make a joke, you know, bringing my dad home, and I had my dad at my feet on the aeroplane, last plane out of Spain, because he was in Marbella. He died in Marbella. And then, so I got the last flight out before lockdown and he's at my feet in a bag that said happy on it because I thought I'm not putting him in the hold because everything's gone wrong. I'm not going to tell you about the whole thing. It was just an absolute effing nightmare. And anyway, this lovely air hostess came up to the back of the plane and she went, are you Gail Porter? And I went, to be honest with you, I don't know. I'm so tired. And then she said, there's two seats in first class. Do you want to go up to first class? Because I remember you were on a flight with us before and you were really nice to someone that was scared of flying. And I said, oh, that's amazing. There's two of us. And the guy next to me went, no, I'm not with you. And I went, no, that's my dead dad. And he was like, oh, my God, she can go up the front. Fuck that. I was like,
I love it. Me and my dad are at the front.
My dad in his wee box and his seat first class, and then the poor air hostess was pure white and she was like, would you like a wee glass of wine? And I was like, hang on, Dad, we'll take two.
Irregular bitches.
Can I interject with the name of the poem?
Yes. Who was it by?
Fun Time.
So it's This Be the Verse by Philip Larkin.
And yeah, and I'm sure it's like, yeah, you have to go and have a look at it, Gail. They fuck you up, your mum and dad, in, you know, even if they seem completely normal.
Yeah, there's a book. I'm pretty sure I've got it in my spare bedroom alongside my dad. And I'm only joking. He's in the sea now. I'll put him in the sea.
Isn't that slang, isn't it, for like get out of here, like get in the bin or get in the sea? That's what the kids say, isn't it? So there you go. You're actually in the end. You told your dad to get in the sea. Fucking get in the sea.
Yeah. Well, he was in my house for so long because it was lockdown and I wasn't allowed to go to school. You know, we weren't allowed out. We weren't allowed to do anything. So I couldn't go to Scotland. And I don't have my mum or my grandparents or anything like that. But my dad has one brother. So he wanted me, Uncle Melvin, he wanted me to take dad up to Edinburgh. So dad was in the house for ages and I was going through, you know, sorting all the stuff you do when people pass away. And I was doing all these like, bills and taxes and death tax and it was such a mess. And I actually put him in the spare room. I was like, Dad, I'm really sorry and all that, but I'm not talking to you. You have to go in the spare room. Sorry.
Not having it. Yeah. Not having it.
Out of my sight.
And then we got to Edinburgh eventually, and then we were like standing at the seaside, Portobello Beach, where we grew up. And my cousin came and did it. And I've got this box with Dad in it. And it was really windy. And I was trying to open the box. And my cousin's like, oh, they've got really, really strong glue in Spain. I went, yeah, we couldn't open it. So there was a wee hole at the bottom of the box where, you know, you could see the bag mm-hmm. with my dad's ashes in it. And she had a wee nail file. And she's like, oh, I'll just poke it through. And then, and I said, no, you got to wait to see which way the wind is blow. Oh, and then she'd done it by that point. Oh, and I was
right in your face.
And my dad, head to toe. My black outfit went pure white. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be sick.
It's straight in the sea for you as well.
Oh,
and then I was chucking the rest in the sea, and then somebody said, "Oh, did you get permission for that? Because you're not supposed to do that; it's illegal." And I said, "What, do you want me to go fish him out?"
Exactly. Too late for that.
It's late night. Find me.
I did not know that you had to get permissions to do that. I mean, Jesus, like the ashes of dead dads. But the ashes of dead dads are the least of the sea's worries. Do you know what I mean?
Irregular bitches.
So what are you doing now? You've mentioned the Samaritans. Is that a full-time job?
Oh, no, I do charity, so I don't get paid for any of that, of course. I just do as much charity as I can do. I've just written a book, and it's a little bit about when I got sectioned and stuff. Then I've got a TV series coming up, but I'm not going to say it yet, just until I get my contract through, because I'm always a bit wary about that. You know what it's like, Sarah.
So are you presenting? You're going to be presenting something?
It's a documentary. That's the sort of stuff I want to do, documentaries. And this one is going to be quite tricky, I think, if it happens. But I think it's pretty much... yeah, it's pretty much done. So I'll be doing that. Then I'm doing loads of talks around the country. So I go to do some charity ones, which obviously I'll do for free. And I'll just turn up at places like schools or universities and tell people about diversion, inclusion, being different, being kind, being stuff like that. And then I've got a stand-up show at the Edinburgh Festival in August.
Oh, can we come?
We need to go, Sarah.
We have to come.
Yeah, because it's my hometown and I can do what I like.
Oh, I'm
oh
there.
My God, Sarah, we need to do
well,
this.
Because you know my sister's in, Gail probably knows this, my sister's in Stirling. So we're absolutely coming up. We'll come up, we'll
we
see
are
you.
Going. Yeah. The regular bitches are coming up to support you.
That's
for
amazing.
Sure.
Well, it seems you're busy, busy, busy. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I don't really know what I do. Someone asked me the other night, they said, what is your job? I went, I don't know. I've been through the best of times, then I hit rock bottom and I was like put in a psychiatric unit and I was homeless and bankrupt, and then I just thought, I'm not letting that get me down, I'm just going to start again. And then so now I just do things that make me happy. And even if my daughter's always saying, you've got to stop working for free. And I said, you know what, if I can do it and I've got the day off and it makes me happy and it makes other people happy, I'll do it. Obviously, you need jobs to sort of keep the roof over your head. But I'm quite happy just plodding along. I don't need for much, you know.
I tell you what, I think it's really selfless that you can do, and especially when it comes to charity work, you just have to make sure that and I get very protective of Gail. I remember it's all coming back to me now. He used to get very protective back in the day, but you just don't get the piss taken out of you, because you need to eat and you need to, you know, look after yourself and you need to have a nice standard of living. You know, we're in our 50s. Now is not the time to be fucking, you know, buying the shittest of everything because that's all you can afford. Now is the time to know your worth, Gail, and you're worth, well, I think you're priceless, but you know, you're worth more than working for free all the time. So I'm with Honey on this one.
Yeah, Honey does tell me off quite a lot. And because, she was like, what are you doing at the weekend? And I told her, and she was like, oh my God, please tell me. You're not getting paid, are you? And I went, no. She's like, oh, Mum. And I said, no, but it's fine. But the only time it is that gets a bit weird is when they say, oh, could you come to, I don't know, Scotland or something? And then I say, yes, of course, no problem. And then it's not until the day then you realise they're not going to pay for your travel. And I was like, oh, I can't afford this
No,
anymore.
Fuck it, that's 100 quid.
But that doesn't happen very often, but it has happened a few times when I've just been completely blanked when it comes to travel. And you just think, I'm not asking for anything. I don't want for anything. But do you know what? If you could just try and get a cheap rail ticket or something. I'm not getting the bus, because I used to get the bus when I was a student, and that just gives me major flashbacks.
No.
Major flashbacks of a man who had a family pack of cheesy Wotsits and sat next to me. On a train to Edinburgh from London.
That's Louise's worst nightmare. She has, what's it called? Mesophonia. What's it called?
Misophonia.
Misophonia. She hates the sound of people chewing.
Misophonia, so I can't cope when people are eating or chewing or rustling their packets or...
Just going to the cinema and I just think, do you know what? How hungry are you? This is just a film, right? We're going to be here massive. ma'am. Yes. 3 hours. You do not need food. You are not starving to death. And also the lady who was at the quiet place. Hello, it's called the quiet place. It's really quiet. Why did you bring crisps?
I'm with you. I'm completely with you. Oh. I wear my big Dr. Beats sound counselling headphones in the cinema. Oh.
Do you really?
So it means I can't hear. I promise, ask Duncan, I sit there with my... with my Dr. Beats on, I can hear the cinema. So I went to Avatar 2. I can hear the cinema and it blocks out all the munching around me.
How can you hear this?
Otherwise, I can't go.
How can you hear the cinema and block out the munching? That's clever, isn't it?
Because I can focus on its background noise. I just cut out all the background noise and then I focus my attention on what's happening in the cinema.
When I take my daughter, you know, if we're having a treat night or something, once a blue moon, and she wants nachos or something, I'll say, well, you can get them and either just have them before we go in or have them at the adverts bit, but they're quite quiet-ish. And it's a bit, as soon as that film starts, no.
Nothing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, you're a film aficionado, aren't you? Because Gail did the movie show as well. So she doesn't want her films fucking interrupted by popcorn.
I love films so much, honestly. I need a good one, actually. I was going to go and see... what's the one that the guy... oh, I can't remember what I was going to go and see.
Have you seen Avatar 2 yet, either of you?
No. Oh. Is it good?
So good.
I loved the it's first so one.
I didn't really enjoy Avatar.
Did you not? I did.
I wasn't really that enamoured.
I loved it.
I enjoy it, and amazing effects and everything like that, but I just... mind you, I saw it when I was in a pretty bad place. So maybe that effect, maybe I should try it.
Yeah.
And I was watching it with a whole bunch of people that were also in bad places. You know, basically we were in a unit. I just think...
That's going to not have the same connotations. It's very beautiful and it has a very good message. And we've given up various things. We've given up cow's milk. We've given up all sorts of things on the back of watching Avatar 2.
Really?
For what it's worth.
I don't do any of that. Milk or anything.
Do you not, Gail?
I'm trying my best at my vegan lifestyle.
Yes, I forgot.
No, I don't eat meat or milk.
But you were veggie. I think you've been a veggie ever since I've known you.
Since about 18 or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I tried meat a few times and then I just can't do it now because I'm an ambassador for the Scottish Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. So I've seen stuff that I just don't want to see.
Yeah. No. And once you've seen, you can't unsee, can you? So you're educated and that's that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I did try bits and pieces, and I did miss like a piece of cheese and toast and stuff like that. But I'm not anymore.
Yeah, we're not getting on with vegan cheese.
Shit, isn't it?
It's really shit.
That's the one thing you see.
But oat milk is going down a storm.
Oat milk is very. I saw that.
Oat milk is great.
It spikes your glucose levels because it's a grain. You just need to know that. I saw that. I follow the glucose goddess on Instagram. She was like, I've got some bad news for the oat milk lovers. I like all the milks. I like almond milk, rice milk, oat milk. I'm not asked about dairy milk. The only thing I have the dairy milk in is my tea because all the others taste a bit funny in tea. So
milk just reminds me of, do you remember when you're at school and then you got hot milk with the cream on the top?
Yeah.
And I used to say, Mrs. Nisbet, I'm going to book. It's just like book Scottish for going to be sick. I was going, Mrs. Nisbet, I'm going to book. And she was like, drink your milk. And then I'd drink my milk. And then I'd book.
Yes.
And I was like, but I told you.
You
and
then
milk trauma.
I remember the little...
Me too.
Before, like, we're all old enough to remember before Thatcher snatched
Pre-Thatcher.
Our milk. Yeah. And it was the mini bottles and they were always room temperature and they were absolutely disgusting. And I know. Anyway, so we're probably triggering loads of people.
If anyone spills milk now, I'm literally freak out.
Well, don't cry.
Well, I'm quite lucky because... one of the things with the COVID, so I had COVID 3 times and I can't smell or taste anything. So I'm not really that bothered anymore. What I eat.
Ah, but that's miserable. Gail, did you know that losing your sense of smell and taste, people that don't have that sense register for, like, they are more likely to be depressed than lacking any other sense. So look it up. So you're more likely to be depressed if you can't smell or taste than if you can. I know that's what I'm saying. But you can bring it back. I'm about to get to the good part. All right, but you can do. Fuck you both. Listen, you can look at me. What you can do is you can get essential oils. I know about this shit. I love smells. You can get these. You can get cotton wool and you soak like just. Google scent smell training and you can try and bring it back. It might not be gone for good is what I'm saying. So you don't have to live with that if, you know, so that's what I'm saying.
One of my friends said, because I've always got I've always got candles, like scented candles, because obviously I know what they smell like previously because I could smell. So I always buy the same ones that I like, you know, like a deep diptyque one or whatever, just if I'm going to treat myself at Christmas time or something and just do it. And so my friend was like, Gail, I'm really concerned because you light your candles at night, but you might, you know, you might burn your house down because you can't smell anything. I went, I'm not fucking blind.
I can see a burning candle. Is your friend using her sense of smell as to whether her candle is burning or not?
I was like, I can see things, you know, I'm very fortunate.
I think your friend is in more danger than you are.
I've kept my sight and I'm very fortunate for that. And I just like to know that, but I'm fine. It's like, well, you better not put the TV on, Gail.
Oh, I fucking love you. We're going to have to wrap it up. I could talk to you all day. Oh, you are lovely. I forgot how funny you are. It's such a joy. Honestly, Gail Porter, you are a fucking treasure.
Can we all catch up somewhere fun?
Yes, please. That would be... Well, fucking Edinburgh Festival. We're coming to Edinburgh. That's a given. I'll book us in with my sister, Shay Bryce. She can put us up and we'll come and see you. You can follow Gail on Instagram. She is at I Am Gail Porter. And presumably you will share anything consumable with regards to what you're doing there as well.
Anything.
Yeah.
My daughter blocked me because she was like, I don't want to see your socks. Because I go, oh, look at my new shiny socks. Like, they've got stripes on them. They're like a rainbow. She's like, take it off Instagram.
Don't look. Well, honey, what like honey wants to look at on Instagram at 20 years old is very different from what we want to look
it's
at on Instagram
we.
At 50. So, you know what? Yes. I like.
We want to see rainbow
She sounds
socks.
Epic, but fuck her. We want to see the rainbow songs.
She's yeah.
Listen, Angel.
I'll tell you didn't.
We will see. No, yeah, I know. Right. We'll see you in August. Thank you for being an irregular bitch with us. You never disappoint. You're wonderful. So thank you very much, Angel.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm so looking forward to see you soon. Give you a big hug.
It'd be brilliant. Thank you, Angel.
Irregular bitches.
Now, before we hoof it, we just have time for another beauty from our irregular bitches laureate, Donna Ashworth. This one is called Lost.
Lost. You haven't lost yourself, my love. It's about knowing what to look for in the mirror, you see. You won't find the old you in there because you've changed. You've evolved. Of course you have. That isn't a failure. That's an achievement. It's about finding the beauty in the new instead of searching for the old. You haven't lost her. You've grown as you were supposed to. And you've done that beautifully, breaks and all. There is much new beauty you are simply not seeing. Look again with fresh eyes. There she is.
Lou, why do her poems always make me want to cry?
See, they don't me.
Do they
not? Not in a you know, I'm not affected way. I just think, have you done it again?
They are so How beautiful.
Done it again? Oh, no. And she's just posted just now that she's been away skiing, hasn't she?
Uh-huh.
She's written loads more. I just think
so excited.
She just whacks them out.
I know, and they're amazing. Honestly, all the Valentine's ones. If you don't follow Donna Ashworth, she is at Donna Ashworth Words on Instagram. Go and find her. And also, big thank you to Donna, Sunday Times bestseller, don't you know?
Oh, yes.
Lou, what's the last word?
Stay cool, bitches.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.